You're listening to Cleveland Browns Daily, driven by Liberty Ford on ESPN 850 WKNR.
We have so much to do today, grading the Browns in their performance against Carolina, a 17-13 loss, their fourth straight. As they prepare for the Baltimore Ravens, under further review, still to come, Mike Pettine at about 140. And right now, as I said, I always, and I've had the good fortune during this season especially, to kind of be side-by-side mates at Browns games a lot. And have a chat with the gentleman that you've read for just a couple of years here, just a couple, around this great city of Cleveland, our good friend Terry Pluto from the Cleveland Plain Dealer. Happy holidays, Terry. Merry Christmas. How are you?
Merry Christmas to you guys. I'm doing well. Hey, I'm talking to you, right?
And we're talking to you. So we're all ahead of the game right now.
Yeah.
And Terry, I noted your column today, and I just mentioned some of the offensive woes, and I went back and looked at all 53 snaps in the last 2 weeks that Johnny Manziel has taken, all of the 12 drives he engineered, and I noted that you pointed out in your column that 9 of those drives resulted in 3 and outs. Has the quarterback change and the shuffle, Terry, in your mind? Now, we know Brian was struggling, and there's no question about that. Brian was struggling. But, Terry, this is a football team that was averaging 23 points a game in the top third of the league. And since the win over Cincinnati, they've averaged 12 points a game. What's been some of the biggest issues for you?
Well, part of it, you know, obviously there's all the Alex Mack stuff and things. And also, you know, quarterbacks go hot and cold. Brian did go cold. I mean, that was, you know, that was it. I mean, we remember some of those games where he just missed, you know, a lot of receivers who were wide open and things like that. And then also I think, some of the rookies went down. And here's what happens in December. In fact, I'm writing a column now that will be probably posted early this evening on the Browns and their September Blues. You know, in the last 5 years, they're 3-20 in December. And in the last 5 years, we've had 4 coaches, 3 general managers, 2 CEOs, and countless assistant coordinators. How's
Keep
that?
Keep going. Sing for
and
us.
So, you know, we can go through and analyze, but the tendency is that these grim Decembers often lead to, you know, Januarys where people are fired all the time. And maybe we ought to just say, you know, part of the problem in December is you just don't have enough depth. And maybe part of the problem, the reason you don't have enough depth, is you don't leave anybody around for more than a few years to actually build up the roster one way where you're not changing all these kind of, game plans. I was just looking back, for example, the first year in this sort of sample was 2010 where Holmgren keeps Mangini.
Mm-hmm.
Even though he doesn't want to play a 3-4 defense and he doesn't want to play that form of offense. Well, what is that?
Big mistake.
Big mistake. So actually, the one time they keep them, it's a big mistake because you're not all in with them, and then you just go, you know, down the line from there. So, but I really think depth on the roster is what kills you in December. And part of the reason maybe you don't have depth is when you keep changing front offices, then they get rid of the old guys, you know, that guy's players, and they're bringing my guys, and ugh. How's that?
That was very good, Terry.
All-encompassing.
Yes, thank you, Terry. My question for you is, and again, it's kind of along those same lines that you were just referencing. You look at Trent Richardson, Brandon Weeden, Barkevious right. Mingo, Justin Gilbert, Johnny Manziel, the last 3 years, first-round draft picks, and we've been reluctant enough to have 2 in 2 of those drafts. We now have 2 again. Are you at all skeptical about our, and again, I know different regimes, different evaluations, different
right.
scouts.
No, right.
Are you skeptical?
Has Ray got to get the first round right? Yeah, he does. I mean, he does. I mean, yes, he does. Thing about Gilbert is, at least when you look at him, I see a player in them physically. I mean, he looks like he's got the physical tools to do it. Secondly, and you guys are more football guys than I am, and I sincerely mean that, but I do know one thing. Defensive backs, you could do different things with them. I mean, frankly, this guy could return if they ever give him a chance. So there's rules you could find. The problem with a quarterback is he's either plays quarterback or he doesn't do anything. I guess he could hold. I mean, I don't know. What do you do with him? And so that's the thing there. So I'm not ready to write off Gilbert. You know, I wasn't a Manziel guy to begin with. And I, you know, now you, Michael, you studied all 53 snaps. I mean, mm-hmm. you guys, you tell me on him. What did you see?
Well, I tweeted it out yesterday. I saw, and I'm talking about the two starts. I did not include the Buffalo game, right, where he did make a couple of real nice throws, the throw to Jim Dray and the throw to Josh Gordon, or I'll say better throws. But the best throw he made to me in those 53 snaps, without question, and the only real strong one, NFL-caliber throw, was out of the shotgun on 3rd and 7 when he ripped that dart to Andrew Hawkins for the first down.
To me, that was about it. Another nice pass early on that Hawkins dropped, I think, in the Bengals game. But, well, you thought he bolts out of the pocket, and all the reasons that I was so skeptical of him. But I just didn't think he'd be so overwhelmed when they put him in. That was a shocking thing to me, and also how they ran him down from behind. You know, he couldn't seem to turn corners.
Yeah, all right. So Terry Pluto joining us, by the way. Always great to have Terry's insights. Make sure you read them at the Cleveland Plain Dealer, cleveland.com, Northeast Ohio Media Group. Terry, Matt Wilhelms here as well. Terry, the foundation of this football team, because now as the scrutiny continues in December, for all the reasons you just pointed out, the questions start becoming about staying stable, staying consistent. What do you feel has been the most noticeable positive that is showing that the foundation is being created properly by Ray Farmer and then down through Mike Pettine and the coaching staff?
All right, so we discussed the first round. The second round, Joel Bitonio is a first-round caliber player. I think we would agree that, no?
Oh, yeah, no doubt.
I mean, he might be the best offensive lineman in the draft. Got him in the second round. Third round, I like Kurtzky. I think he's good. And
agreed.
And West, we'll see, but he shows some promise. But only about 20% of third-rounders become NFL starters. We act like sometimes these guys are free. I mean, they're certainly role players, and I wish I'd see more DeSeur now. I mean, he looks like he's got a lot of promise.
He acquitted himself very nicely, hasn't he?
So he did. Yep. And then you go into the undrafted free agents, Taylor Gabriel, Kwon Williams. I'm missing somebody.
Kwon Williams, Taylor Gabriel.
And there was a third one, and I'll have it here in a moment, but the point being that
Isaiah Crowell. Yep.
So when you throw all that together, a number of players were infused into the system who, as you said, are, you know, promising players, and some produce pretty well. So that's why, and guys, Pettine's first year in this job. Farmer's the first year in the job. I don't know too many people first year on their job just hit home runs all the time.
No. Mike Pettine has done, I think, fantastically well, a very solid job for this football team, and doing everything he can and showing that he's got the right stuff in his message, Terry, that he's imparting. And I'm looking at it, since they were 6-3 and have won one of their last six football games.
The first time I saw that faraway Browns December stare in a coach was this past week from him. And that's not a criticism. That's just finally, you know, the losing and everything catches you. But, yeah, he's had some clock management problems. I thought he did not handle when waiting 3 days to decide between Hoyer and Manziel for the, I think it was the Indianapolis game. I thought that was not done very well. But none of these are anywhere close to, gee, we need to change coach offenses. I mean, the fact is, you know, I always pick them 6-10. Now I don't have to do it anymore. They finally won six games. I've been doing that since 2009.
Mm-hmm.
But, if you were to ask me where would they finish, I would have said 5-11 tops. That's where I thought they were going this year.
Gotcha, Terry. That all being said is, again, having covered this football team all season long and understanding that culture, is this a football team that you feel against the Baltimore Ravens is going to continue to fight? Or is this a football team that you think has packed it up and folded?
Matt, I just don't know how good they are right now. If Hayden doesn't play and Connor Shaw's playing, and I forgot who, I can't even keep track of who's hurt anymore. There's so many. they just are beat up. And, the depth here is just, that's where I get into. Part of the reason these teams that are good have these guys coming off the practice squad. They've been on and off practice squads or at the end of the roster for 2 or 3 years in the same system, okay? I mean, this is kind of elementary stuff here. But we don't do elementary stuff here. And so suddenly that's why this guy comes out of nowhere and he plays pretty well, because he's been trained in the system, not trained with three different. All right, if you're Tayshawn Gibson, you're on your third coach in 3 years or whatever.
That's right. And you came in as a free agent out of Wyoming.
Yeah.
That was, and Tom Heckert brought Gibson in.
Right. But my point is he overcame a ton to do what he did.
No, yeah. No, well, of course.
More than normal. Whereas if he'd have been a say he's an undrafted guy that goes to New England, well, same stuff, Belichick stuff, all that.
Mm-hmm.
Right?
Yeah,
so
no
I
doubt.
Think that's the thing there where you have to say, all right, unless there's something egregious or awful with your two guys, and I don't see it with Farmer and Pettine, you know, Jimmy's just got to say, no, not again. It stops. We're going to get better. We may have to change some stuff on the coaching staff. We got to look at some scouting. But, no, we're not just throwing more hand grenades in there.
No, that really probably be the worst thing to do. Stability, consistency, the best way to go here.
Right, when you have guys that you trust. I mean, that's
what
I mean.
There you go. Now, yeah. Again, you know, you've got to have that trusted confidence. You're right. But, Terry Pluto, listen, we're going to have to leave it right here.
All right.
Thanks so much. And
thanks,
I hope
Terry.
That our good buddy Kevin Byrne puts us together so we could continue our conversation at in the press box at M&T Bank Stadium on the season finale, Terry.
All right, and then after that, we'll all be saying, we all knew Connor Shaw could play. That would be funny.
Listen to you. Listen to you. Okay,
hey,
we'll continue the conversation.
Okay.
Merry Christmas to you.
Take care.
You and
bye-bye.
Roberta. Stay well. That's Terry Pluto from the Cleveland Plain Dealer, always ready with the quick quip for us. We may see Connor Shaw. We may see him. We'll see. Brian Hoyer is going to do everything he can.
Yes, he will. I believe
to play
that
in
well.
That finale against a division rival. And remember, Matt, this foot the Browns led by 6 mid-fourth quarter against Baltimore, led by 5, and wound up getting beat because that you know that Justin Tucker kicked a couple of field goals to
yes,
beat him
did.
Here at home. So I think it's Hoyer would like to have one back and that opportunity to win another against the Baltimore Ravens
and split the division.
Yeah, that's right. Opportunity to go 3-3. All right, now, your opportunity coming up, 216-578-0850. We appreciate Terry Pluto dropping by with us. Michael Regi, Matt Wilhelm, Cleveland Browns Daily, your tweets, at Matt Wilhelm 57, at Michael Regi, at Browns underscore daily, at Nathan Zagura as well. We've got a lot to do. Mike Pettine's coming up at 140. We'll get back and get your voices involved as the Browns get ready for the season finale in Baltimore. Happy holidays, everybody. From all of us out of the Dog Bowl, on Cleveland Browns Daily, driven by Liberty Ford.